Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Praise the Lord. God is great. He's greatly to be praised, and he's here in our midst. Because the Bible says, whenever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. Amen. We are so grateful to the Lord for his presence here with us. And we know that he's wherever you are because that's what we prayed for. And God does not disappoint his people. Amen. This is a great day to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. I know that many of us have concerns about the election and concerns about our family and concerns about ourselves. But for just a moment, hand all of those concerns to the Lord. For just a moment, just for a little while today, hand all of those concerns to the Lord because we're going to focus on him, on his word, and what he has to say to us. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity to worship before you, to come in fellowship in your word, to receive from you, Lord, that you have for us. You've come into the midst of your people today, Lord, to bless us. You've come in the midst of your people today, Lord, to edify us and to build us up and to make us strong in the things of God. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing that you've poured out upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that those that are going to travel will experience in Jesus' name. We cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we surround everyone with a wall of fire with your glory in the midst, your warring, linking angels, and your praising angels, Lord. We thank you for covering President Trump as well in Jesus' name. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that every blessing is received in our hearts and that we have taken the time to say thank you for that blessing, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We lift up to you, Lord, everyone that had a death in the family. We ask you to comfort them, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit to comfort them. Help them to think more clearly during that time, Lord. Though they are grieving, Lord, ease their pain because their loved one has come to the end of this part of the journey. We thank you, Lord, that there is journey beyond. And we know, Lord, that anytime someone leaves us, if they're born of God, that they go into the presence of the Lord because to leave this body is to leave and to go into your very presence. We thank you for your presence here among us. We thank you for your grace and for your power. And we bless the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, this is a great day to be alive. You know, the Old Testament prophets wished that they had could hang around to see our day. And we look at it and we are so unimpressed. But I'm here to tell you, they wish that they could see the things that we're seeing and live through the period of time that we're living through. Because you see, great things are happening. Even though the outward signs look kind of muddy, great things are happening. You have to learn that God works even when there's a cloud in the sky. It doesn't stop him. It doesn't stop him. God moves even when there's clouds, when there's sunshine, and when there's rain. And when there's foreboding climate, God is still working. He never stops. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's on the case 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Life and death is in his hand. He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. So the devil can't just snatch folk out at his will. Amen? So we want to thank the Lord for his goodness. We thank him for easing the burden. We thank him for removing the mourning. Because he took sorrow and suffering on the cross for us. Amen? So we don't have to sorrow as others do. Because we know that there is life beyond the grave. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And a special good morning to all of our new listeners. Praise the Lord for all of you, all of our first-time listeners. God bless you. Miracle Internet Church and Miracle Outreach Ministries at Jacksonville is Miracle Outreach Ministries. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we gather together on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time to bless the Lord. Amen? And we thank him for his goodness. We want to thank the Lord that he's helping us to do the things that we need to do. We all have tasks to perform. We all have business to do. But God is helping us. Amen? And somebody's nibbling on the communion. But God is helping us. Amen? Praise the Lord. For those of you who don't know yet, we take Holy Communion at the beginning of our service, and somebody's a little anxious to get to that part, but we're coming. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. And we encourage you, saints, to pray in your prayer language in agreement in Jesus' name. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and the workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush and in the deep, in Jesus' name. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watching, peeps, whisperers, all familiar demons, all technology demons and their attacks, all Leviathan, all Kundalini, all water and marine spirits, all sex devils, all unclean spirits, all passive devils, all sorcery devils, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks in the name of Jesus. We bind all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all hypnotic trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons, chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians, and we bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks, all inner ear attacks, all sinus attacks in the name of Jesus Christ, and we return every attack to the sender. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind the prince of the power of the air. We return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bull flies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind all transference of evil spirits. We bind mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, the spirit of Halloween, mystic rituals, devils attending the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebel practices, lewdness, perversions, outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and social sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin in the name of Jesus. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Apollyon, Zeus, Neptune, Python, and Moloch. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, all swelling due to witchcraft, all poisons, voodoo pins, dolls, hot and cold spots. And we return these afflictions to the workers of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions. And we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice that with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, whom we serve and obey. And, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and all true Christians. We pray for President Trump, his entire administration, his family, his faith, and his prayer life. We take authority, dominion, and power over every coup that is rallied against him. We bind the work of the devil, Lord, where it comes to the things of the election in the name of Jesus. We bind rioting in the streets. We bind mayhem in the streets. We bind every form of violence in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the work of those who are paid to riot, as they were when at the last election. We bind the work of those who are paid to destroy buildings in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the works of those that pay them to do it, and that who employ them to do wicked works in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for your immediate judgment upon them all in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving us power and authority over all the power of the devil. And we bind the financial resources of the opposition in Jesus' name. We thank you for your judgment against the opposition, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over the evil works of men, over the evil and vain imaginations of their hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. No one can steal power from you, Lord, because all power belongs to God. So we thank you, Lord, that it is you who chooses who is promoted. It's you, Lord, who chooses who reigns. It's you who sets one in his place. It's you that gives gifts. It's you that causes those gifts to work. So we thank you, Father, and we give you praise because all power truly belongs to God. And we thank you for releasing your power toward those who believe you, those who trust you, and those who have decided to obey you. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Amen. Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and forgive us for the open doors that we still have in our lives to the enemy. Help us to know what they are, Lord, and to address them with you. We thank you, Lord, for cutting us free from the works of the devil. We bind up every work of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We take the territory in Jesus' name. And we declare that the devil doesn't reign over us. We invite you, Father. We invite you, Lord Jesus. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and reign over us. We desire for you to reign over us. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we repent of all of our sins, Lord, all of our trespasses, all of our iniquity, even the things that we have done wrong that we don't realize are wrong yet. We ask for your mercy, for your forgiveness, and for your correction in our lives. We know, Lord, that as you speak to our hearts, you will direct us in a right way. The steps of a good man, the Bible says, are ordered of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for your order in our lives, your order in our footsteps. We ask you, Lord, to save our family members who are still in darkness and bring them into your marvelous light. We thank you for maturing them, Father, that they are able to receive the things of God. We pray that they will hear your word and not turn away, that they will hear your call and not turn their back. We ask you, Lord, to end their season of sin, that season of pleasure that they have in sin, Lord. Cause them deep within to realize that there is an empty place that only you fill. We thank you, Lord, for pointing out the truth to them and for opening their eyes so that they can see that they are in darkness. We give you praise. We bind the enemy's adverse work against the family in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the attacks against every marriage in the name of Jesus. We bind those devils that come to divide, to bring strife and division and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and grudges. We bind those devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We command them to be bound to go into the cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. And, Father, we release peace in the home. We release your grace in the homes, Lord, so that your spirit can dwell among us in our home. We thank you, Lord, that every word that we speak, we are accountable to you for. So, Father, we choose to speak words of love, words of edification, words of grace, words that uplift. And we choose not to curse. We choose not to say things that do not bring the very best out in each one of us. So, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your protection over us during this season, Father. This is a treacherous season on the earth in Jesus' name. And so we pray for peace in the United States of America when the election results are announced. Not the peace that the world gives, Lord Jesus, but your peace. And we openly receive it now in Jesus' name. Cover us with the blood, O Lord, and blanket us in your peace. We pray for the uncovering and retribution due to the opposition to come upon them quickly, Father, in Jesus' name. For, Father, they have railed against the Lord Jesus Christ. They have imagined vain things, and it is because of their motivation from the devil that they are so willing to bow to his wishes, so willing to engage in demons, that they are now moving in an area where they are opposing directly the Lord Jesus Christ. They have declared war against you, Lord Jesus, but your church stands with you. Your remnant stands with you. Those who love you and trust you and obey you stand with you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We pray for the increase in membership of the local assembly according to the will of the Lord. We pray for the righteous spirituality of the local assembly to come forth to God's glory. And we pray for the protection of Miracle Outreach Ministries from our Heavenly Father and against our enemies, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And we pray that you have your elements ready now, because we're going to enter into Holy Communion. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good.
Praise the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, saints, the Lord went through a lot to afford us this blessing. And we don't do it ritualistically. We do it in remembrance of him, in remembrance of the price that he paid for our salvation. Because without it, we would already be in hell. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are indeed privileged and blessed to be saints of the Most High God. On your way here, you saw many people and you passed many people that don't know his name, and some that use his name as a curse word. But that name blesses our soul, because it is by the power in that very name that we are able to walk free from the claws of the devil. And we want to thank the Lord as we take communion today for all that he is doing for us and has done and will do. Amen? Because there's never a time when he does not wish to bless us. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. Thank you, Lord. And said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Holy Communion. And we thank you for the healing that comes to us as we partake of the bread and we partake of the wine, Lord. We lift up Brother Bill to you and all of those who have infirmity attacking them right now. We take authority, dominion, and power over the work of the devil against our bodies in Jesus' name. Every witchcraft attack that has attacked our bodies, Father, we bind it in the name of Jesus and we send it wherever it came from, according to the covenant, in the name of Jesus Christ. By your stripes, Lord, the Bible says that we are healed. We have been healed by the very stripes that you took. So, Father, we thank you for applying those stripes and releasing your healing virtue into everybody that needs healing today. We give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you, Lord, for those that will minister to us in the medical profession. We bind the devils that work there, the sickness spirits, the infirmity spirits, the malady spirits, the ailment spirits. We bind them all in the name of Jesus. We bind word curses in the name of Jesus, and we release the blessings of the Lord over your people. We thank you, and we give you praise, and everybody said hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, it's a marvelous time to be in the kingdom. It's a marvelous time to be in the kingdom. And Brother Bill, I need you to let me know how the sound is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, today, the Lord has some questions to ask us. And his question is, what is your motivation? What is it? He doesn't want you to just sit and listen. He wants you to think. Amen? He wants you to think. He wants you to think. He wants you to take this word in and allow it to dwell richly in you. Amen? He wants you to meditate on this sermon and Friday's sermon even after you leave. It's not just words he thought up. It's words that he wants to dwell in our spirits. Amen? God has a lot to say to his people. A lot. And sometimes, you know, when it's time for church, we just sit back, we listen to the sermon, and we say, that was a good sermon. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to take this sermon in our heart. He wants us to listen intently to what he says with the desire to obey him. You know, we've talked about that being called hearkening. That's what we call it, hearkening. That's what the Bible calls it, listening with intent to obey. Well, today's sermon is no different, really no different. The Lord wants us to pay close attention because he's going to say some things today that maybe you haven't heard before and maybe some things that you have forgotten. He's going to say some things to stir up because that's how God does it. Amen? That's how God does it. So he wants you to get your mind off of all of that that happened before church. He wants you to get your mind off of everything that's going on around you. And he wants you to pay attention intently to the words that he's going to speak because they come from his heart. God has a heart. Yes, he does. He has a heart and a heart for us. And he wants your undivided attention today, your undivided attention. Amen? Amen. Why? Because it's important. It's important. For those of you who are new and you have not yet had an opportunity to visit our website is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And if you'd like to listen through your computer, we merely ask that you open your computer to miracleinternetchurch.com and open two windows. The first window is for MIC radio chat. You will see that link as the page comes up. The second window is for the link that says archived sermon. Amen? And when you get to that one, scroll down to where it says upcoming broadcast. That would be the broadcast for this afternoon. Click it and you can listen through your computer and look in the chat room to see the scriptures. Amen. We pray that all of you have signed in to the MIC radio chat and said good morning, good afternoon, God bless you, hallelujah, to all of your brethren in Christ because we walk in love in this ministry. Amen. We exhibit the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're on an Android device or an iPhone, you may pull up miracleinternetchurch.com as well. And you may go ahead and click that link of the three white lines against the black background. That will open up all the other links to you. You can sign in. You can say good afternoon. And then you can go to archive sermons, and you can listen that way. Or you can call in through your phone at area code, what did I say that area code is? What is it, y'all? 319-527-6235 and press 1. Thank you. Praise God. So we want to thank the Lord for the offering, for everyone that has given. That link is giving at miracleinternetchurch.com. We thank you that you've wiped the sleep out of your eyes now. It's a new day. Wake up. Shake yourself. Jesus is here, and he's waiting to talk to you. So, what does God want to say? Well, he's asking, what is your motivation? What's your motivation? Okay. What are your true motivations for serving the Lord Jesus? Have you ever thought about this? It is important to know that all of your true reasonings for your actions are pleasing to the Lord. The Word of God reveals truth. Are your motives born of truth? Do you judge your motives as pure when they are not? Do you bring your reasonings before the throne to be judged? If not, why not? You know, there's a scripture that says that folks don't come to the light. Their deeds are evil. But you see, they know that they're evil too. They're not lost on that. They know what they're doing is not pleasing to God, but at the moment, it's pleasing to them. In Psalm 33, verse 4, Psalm 33 and verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. The word of the Lord is right. God is always right. It's not possible for him to ever be wrong. He is right all of the time. And it's for us to recognize that, to acknowledge that, and to bow down before him. And all of his works are done in truth. God is never deceived. He's never confused. He never has it backwards. That's us. We do that. Psalm 111, beginning with verse 7. Psalm 111, beginning with verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. His commandments don't wobble. They don't vacillate. They don't waver. They don't say, they just don't do that. They're straight. They hit the point every time. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. So God is truth, and everything that he does is in truth and uprightness. So let's go to the book of Romans. We're going to Romans today, at least for a moment, and we're going to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Say amen when you arrive. Amen. We thank the Lord for the reading of his word. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal or worldly and sold under sin. The word is spiritual, but we are carnal. And many times we yield ourselves to sin. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happens. So God wants to come help us out today because he knows that we need help. He knows that we need help, and that right early. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows that we need help. Before I get too far, I want to thank everyone that continues to come up into the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room and add their agreement and prayers to the prayers that are listed. Amen. God is working miracles, and he wants us to continue to do this. And I want to thank everyone that comes into the MIC radio chat every day and reads the posts that Pastor leads. Pastor leaves some very interesting and profound information. And if you would take the few minutes that it requires to do that, you will find out not only what the Lord wants you to pray about, but you will discover things that you might not know that are needful. Amen? So Pastor usually posts something in the MIC chat. I would encourage you to scroll up after service and read what Pastor had to say. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me get rid of this little pop that I hear. And then there it is, right there. Praise God. Amen. The natural man acts in contrast and opposition to the spiritual man. Amen? He always does it. That's what he does. He has a tendency to do things that sometimes we just don't want him to do. Amen? Me and technology, that's another thing. Amen. There we go. We each have seen this in our own thought lives and in our behavior. We've seen ourselves show out on Jesus. We've seen ourselves act as though we really are not born again. Doesn't mean we're not born again. It means that we're in the flesh at that moment. And we are exhibiting qualities that are not found in a Christian. Why? Because we have been crucified with Christ. Our sin life was nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus. It's just that sometimes we seem to forget this. And so in a moment of heated emotion, in a moment of irritation or annoyance, or whatever provocation may be it fear or whatever, we act out. And then afterwards we go, ooh, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay? Well, that's good, but let's do better. Amen? Let's do better. The natural man continues to exhibit babyhood in our Christian faith. In many ways, it acts like human baby. It must be fed on demand. And so we are fasting to put it in its place. Not when it is time to be fed, but rather when it wants to be fed. It must be clothed, of course, but it is finicky about that too. It believes that it is equal to adults and will mimic whatever it sees. Our culture does plenty of this. But Christians should think twice before they engage in what the culture is doing. You see, when you worship our worldly culture, you commit the sin of idolatry against Jesus Christ. You cannot go with the flow of what the world is doing and act and think and say and believe what the world does. Because if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. Amen? So you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ with your life. That means it's time to drop the world off. Drop it off, kick it to the curb, whatever you want to call it, just get rid of it. You can't keep it. So everything must be related to the mouth with a baby. The mouth is all important. Everything that it can reach goes to the mouth. It goes there immediately. There is no thought process, no reasoning. It moves by sense only, and it just pops it in the mouth. You've seen that. Everything must be experienced through the senses. That's how babies are. They've got to feel everything. Very little reasoning can take place because babies live from one experience to the next. They have to feel everything. And Christians that have to feel everything are still babies. Because you cannot live by your feeling. The Bible says that we live by faith. The just live by faith, not by feeling. You can't go around emoting everywhere just because you have emotion. You see, you're supposed to walk in temperance. Temperance, doesn't that mean alcohol? Well, sometimes it does, but it means you're supposed to have self-control. You're supposed to have control over those emotions that just blurt out everything at any time because it feels like it. You see, you're supposed to be being emptying those things out that you find in you that aren't of God. I always like to give the example of a Coke bottle, the glass kind. You shake it up, then you move your thumb, and what comes out? Coca-Cola. Why does Coca-Cola come out and not Sprite? Because there's no Sprite in the bottle. There is Coca-Cola in the bottle. So if when people shake you up, you come out with all those words you would not say in church, then that's what's in you and not whatsoever things are pleasing to the Lord, whatever things are of good report. That's not what's in you. What's in you is what came out of you. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. Amen? If you've got bitterness and hatred in you, sooner or later, your smile will fade because somebody, the devil will see to it, that somebody pushes your button and all of that explodes out of you. So you need to be careful who you associate with. Because when you associate with people that are blasphemous, their blasphemous spirits transfer to you. And before you know it, you'll be acting like them. You'll be saying words that you weren't saying before. And then you don't realize, well, where did that come from? I don't do that. Well, you see, there was a connection you made with someone who does that. And their devil came to visit with you. And because you did not do proper warfare before you came into engagement with that person, it goes, my, a new vessel, let me jump over there. And that's exactly what happened. So if you're around people that are full of lust devils, expect them to show up around you. If you're around people, all they can think about is what you do in the midnight hours, expect that to show up around you. If you're around a thief, if you're around an angry person, if you're around a bitter person, expect what's in them to traffic to you. If you're around a liar, expect yourself to start lying. Now, God had cleaned you out of all these things. And why do they reappear? Sometimes you let them in through association. Amen? Sometimes it's through the magic touch. What's the magic touch? When people come and lay their hands on you. You didn't ask them to come touch you. You weren't so close that they needed to touch you. They just felt like they needed to touch you, and you know they're full of the devil. You know they're carnal, they're worldly, and they don't serve the Lord with all of their hearts. They are not of like precious faith, but they feel the need to touch you. You know, years ago when I was coming up, people didn't stand so close to each other that barely know one another. They didn't step into people's personal space just because the space existed. They had some decorum. And they just didn't jump in people's private space. Nowadays, people feel they can call you by your first name even when you're old enough to be their grandmother. They're quite disrespectful. They feel they can touch you just because you're there. But you need to bind the magic touch. Because that same touch transfers demons to you. Their demons become your demons. And then you can't figure out why you're confused and can't find the milk in the grocery store. Amen? Amen. So, you see, saints, It takes some time before the Lord can reason with babies. Why? Because babies want to feel everything. Reasoning is something they haven't quite developed yet. So, it takes a while. It does. It really does take a while to learn that you have a flesh and that you need continually to keep it in check. Reminded that it was crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ and that it's dead. And if you punch a dead man, he doesn't punch you back. Amen? Amen. So their motivations are born of the flesh and self-centeredness. Are you still anchored to the self-life? Ask yourself, self, am I still anchored to the self-life? Perhaps further inspection will reveal the truth. Some of us are still bound in ourselves. We are still the center of our own universe. If it doesn't suit us, it's not suitable. If we aren't getting something out of it, we don't want to participate. You know, some people come to church with this attitude. If the song is not their song, and they don't know the song, they don't feel the need to praise the Lord like they do when it's the song they like the best. You see, praise and worship is to the Lord. It's to honor Him. It's to worship Him. It's really not about you. It's really not about you. However, you do receive a blessing when you walk in that obedience. So when you come into praise and worship, you should forget about yourself. And forget about everything else and focus your attention on the Lord. Amen? We can't seem to break free from our proliferation of sin, some of us. What do you do when the demon is gone but still behave as though it were still in effect? The demon has been cast out. He's gone. Your little home is swept and empty and clean and garnished. The decorations are everywhere. The Holy Spirit's been invited in, but then you're still acting out. What do you do about that? What do you do about that? Well, Pastor, the demon is, no, that demon's gone. And he can't come back. He's been judged by Jesus Christ, and he can't come back to you. If you leave it empty long enough, reinforcements may show up, but they're not there just yet at this time. Well, saints, it means that you must change. That's what it means. You must change. You cannot blame your fault on a demon that has been cast out. It's now you, my dear, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the deacon, it's not the pastor, it's not the usher, it's you, my dear, in the need of prayer. You must look at yourself and see yourself, the need for growth and change. You must allow the scriptures to bring truth to the table. You must accept the truth, believe the truth, and trust the Lord to keep you in truth once you have embraced the truth and made it your own. You see, there's a process in this. You have to allow for the scriptures to talk to you. They're not just words on a page. They speak to you. When you're open to hear from the Lord, you have to accept what the Bible says. You can't sit there and argue with it in your head. You have to humble yourself and accept what the Bible says. then you must believe what the Bible says. You have to choose to believe. You see, believing is a choice. You use your will for that. You decide if you're going to believe or if you're not. Thomas found that out one day when they told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he said, I will not believe except such and such and such happen. And there are those of us who have our list of qualifications that we feel must be met before we will believe. But saints, step a little higher. Put your list aside and just believe God. Amen? He had to see with his senses. He had to see, he had to touch before he would believe. The Jews kept asking Jesus for a sign. And he did more miracles than they could have ever wanted. They had more signs, more miracles than you could desire. But they still did not choose to believe. You see, you don't always need a sign. Sometimes you just need to believe. Amen? And that's the truth. And after you have chosen to believe, you have to trust the Lord to keep you in the truth. You see, the Lord our God is our deliverer. He delivers us from our error and from our deception and from our own lies that we tell ourselves. Yes, we do lie to ourselves. We do deceive ourselves. But our God loves us so much that he delivers us from our own sins, our own lies that we tell ourselves about ourselves. It's important to see yourself in the light of truth. And once we have chosen to trust the Lord, we must embrace the truth and make it our very own. It's not God's word only, it's our word. It's his word to us, and it becomes precious to us, and we hold it dear to ourselves. It's not something that we can just sit down somewhere and walk off from. You know, I've always thought that you can tell how important the word is to a person by how close they keep the word to them. I've always been one to take it everywhere I go. It's in my car. It's all over my house. It's everywhere. I have it playing in my house, whether I'm home or whether I'm not home. It's in the back of the house, the front of the house, in my room. It's everywhere. There's no place in my house you can go and not hear the word. There is not one spot in my house that you can stand in and not hear the word. Because the word is precious to me. As I walk through the house, I hear the word, and I'm listening for what God is saying to me. It's important that we listen and receive and embrace the truth and make it our own. The word has to become flesh in us at some point. You see, you must bow down to the truth. You must bow down to the truth. It's necessary. And submit yourself to it. You must bow down to the truth. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue must confess. You must bow down to the truth and submit to the truth. You must yield yourself to the truth. Without holding back. You must give yourself to the truth without trying to keep this little part over here. Lord, just act like you don't see that part. No. All things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is no secret. God sees it all. No matter where you put it or where you hide it, he knows about it. So you may as well come clean with him. We have to yield ourselves to the truth without holding back because we must change. We must allow God's words to change us. We must allow the word to have such an impact upon us that it changes us. It causes us to be uncomfortable when we're on the wrong side of that sword of the Spirit. We know it within. We feel it. When you're on a fast, you ought to feel when you're wrong. I said something to the Lord that I had said once before, and I knew it was childish, but when I said it this time, I felt that thing. And I said, Lord, okay, I got to get rid of this. I thought this had gone. No, it was still there hiding out. But you know things about fast. They pull back the covers and they show you what's really there. It's important, saints, to stay in the truth. You must allow God's words to really change you. You know, sometimes, you know those wooden, I forgot the word for them. You use it to rind out a lemon or an orange. To get, it's a juicer. It's wooden, though, and it has a point to it, and it's got, you know, kind of perforations on it, so to speak, little ridges, that's what you call them. And then you twist it and twist it and twist it until the juice and the seeds run out. Well, here comes the word of God, and that's you with your somewhat juicy fruit and kind of tight. Jesus does not put you in a microwave and push a button until you roll it in juice. No, he takes this thing called the word, and he just twists in it and twists it and takes it deeper and deeper and around the sides and in the middle till all the seeds and all the juice begin to flow. That's right. You're not going to hide anything from him. Until you submit to the process and do these things, you will remain bound and not free. Lies and deception and pride are your enemy, not your friend. Until you see this for yourself, not much change will take place. You must take the word of God and speak the truth to yourself. Sometimes, saints, you have to encourage yourself with the word of God. Carnal persons ignore this process and keep going around the same mountain over and over and over again. Does that sound like you? Jesus Christ and his power are real. Let us not bemoan the past with its failures and mistakes born in ignorance. Let us mature and take responsibility for who we are and for what we have done, not only to ourselves, but to others as well. Our lack of true spirituality in Christ has caused many casualties, and many times we have been the most harmed. Let us be done with that. It is time for change. As we proceed on this path, let each of us seek the Lord for greater truth in our lives, so that change will be a valid possibility. We all need more light, we all need more truth, and we all need it applied to our own lives first. Let us each see ourselves for who we really are, not who we wish we were, and for what we are capable of becoming in Christ. Yes, we are capable of becoming more in Christ. God has a picture of us, and he is the plan for our salvation. He is the plan for our salvation. He is the plan for us overcoming. He is the plan for our victory. You don't have to work up your own plan. He is the plan. Let each of us exchange our own opinion of who we are and what we are capable of becoming in Christ Jesus and come into agreement with our God and his word. This is something we must do. No one can do it for us. We have to choose to come into agreement with God. When the Bible says that we are overcomers in Christ Jesus, we have to embrace that truth. We have to put it in our heart. We have to breathe it, smell it, eat it, touch it, feel it. We have to become that, overcomers in Christ Jesus. We can no longer see ourselves as a failure, as a disappointment, as a ruin. We have to see ourselves the way God presents us in the Word. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Forget the old, walk into the new. The carnal life, its way of thinking, its habits, are not ours to keep forever. We can't hold on to the carnal, worldly life forever. At some point, you got to let go. If you want more momentum in Jesus, if you want to go further with him, you're going to have to drop off those sins and weight that does so easily beset you and run the race that is set before you. You can't keep looking back at the sin you did 3 years ago because somebody comes to you and says, you know, I remember what you did. Well, they need a memory exchange. You know how you take the little disc that you buy, it's a teeny tiny thing, and you put it in your little reader, and you stick it in, and you close it, and it expands the memory. Well, some of these people need an expander. They've got you in this little tight space of who you used to be. They need that little device that expands the memory so that they'll have room for the new you because the old you has already passed away. You're in the new now. We must become more agreeable to the Lord. We must learn through truth and experience to allow the Lord to shape us, to humble us, to show us our sins and our faults. Before we can invite others into revival, we must have revival in ourselves. Let me say that one more time. Before we can invite others into revival, we must have revival in ourselves. We can't be telling other people to get on fire for God when we're still lukewarm. We have to be on fire and on ablaze for Jesus. We have to be talking about him wherever we go because he is the most important discussion that there is. We have to be alive in Jesus Christ. We have to be living and breathing him. Nobody's going to come to a dead, cold, well, you know, you need to come to Jesus. No, you have to be on blaze. Have you ever noticed when there is a fire, folks run to see it? Well, you have to be on fire too, or nobody's going to come to hear what you've got to say. Not even if they live with you. Those are your strongest critics because they see your faults, they see your sins, and they think that they know everything about you. However, they need to take a second look. You've become a new creature in Christ, and a metamorphosis, a change is taking place. And you're not the same old person you were the last time they picked at you. You're somebody new. So this time when they come with the taunt and with the persecution, And with a too much mouth, you just smile and say, God bless you. You don't flare up anymore. You don't get all hot under the collar. You don't twirl your face up and say something you shouldn't say. No, now the grace of God and the love of God is in your heart. So you respond instead of reacting. You do the thing that Jesus would do. That's transformation. That is change. That is growth. That is power. That is authority in Jesus Christ. You want to know why the devil doesn't move the minute you say it? Well, it's because you got to grow in some faith. You got to live what you say you believe. You got to live what you say you believe. You can't just spout off nice Christian phrases. You've got to actually live this work. Because when you live it, the devil knows it. You can't fool him. He's been around a long time messing around with folks forever. He knows how to make them fall. He knows how to make them doubt. He knows how to make them fear. He knows where the buttons are because he's been pushing them forever. You've got to commit to this word to the point that you live it. It's your breath. It's your life. It's your everything. And until it is, he'll still be knocking you upside your head. So now you decide how much you're going to tolerate off of him. If you want to keep getting slapped upside the head every week, then you just keep letting him knock you in the head. But if it was me, that wouldn't be the case. I suggest that you make some changes so that he's not able to do with you what he used to do. It's time for change. It's time to stop the devil before he gets to the door. It's time to see him coming, smell him coming, and rise up early in the morning and get up and tell him, no, you won't come here. You need to stop laying in your bed till your alarm clock goes off to say, oh, God, good morning. No, you rise up in the midnight hour. You stand on the word and you tell the devil, no, you can't have my family. You can't have my husband. You can't have my children, and you sure won't have me. You bind that devil and you tell him, no, I don't care if you are a generational curse. You're going right back where you came from. Don't sleep through your opportunity. Get up and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life and don't let go. Jesus Christ paid a penalty. He paid for your penalty. He paid a price. His blood drained out of him. It drained out of him. When they pierced his side with a sword, water and blood gushed out of him. He gave it all for us. Surely we can give our all for him. So you see, saints, change does not come by pressing a button. We must each yield ourselves to his process of change. Change is a process, and we need faith and endurance to withstand God's process, because his process is not our process. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And his process is not our process. The scriptures that we memorize must actually become a part of us. The word of God must rise up from within us and overthrow the works of the flesh. Let me say that again. The word of God must rise up from within us. It can't do that if you don't ever put it in there. It's impossible to get clothes clean in the washing machine if you don't ever put any detergent in it. Amen? You can put them in that washer as much as you want, but if you don't put some detergent in there and sometimes some bleach, you're not going to get those clothes clean. That's just the way it is. So if you don't put any word in you to wash the filth and vile behaviors out of you, you're not going to get too clean inside. But he'll make you clean inside. He'll clean all that gunk out of you. You know how down in the sink, you know, underneath the stopper, you've been just running the water, and one day it doesn't go out the way it usually does. It's because there's some gunk down in there. And the word of God comes to get the gunk out of us. So the water of the word can flow freely through us. Not just to help us, but everybody else. You got to put the word in if you want God to rise up. When you're in that challenge and somebody's hot in your face saying things they have no business saying, it's a word that's in you that needs to rise up, not your flesh. So we fast to put the flesh under, to remind him that it's dead and that it does not have power and authority over us. The word has to rise up in you and speak forth the words of life. It can't be your flesh, because the flesh profiteth nothing. So you can't win people with your flesh, folks. It's got to be the word of God alive, living in you, breathing in you. They can't be shaken. It must be that way. It has to be that way, because that's the way that it is. We cannot sit idly by and watch others press in and go forward. I keep telling everyone, you can't be a dugout Christian. You can't sit in the dugout and watch other people on the field hitting the ball, running to the bases, and running around making home runs and cheer them while you sit in the dugout. It doesn't work that way. Everybody comes up to bat in this kingdom, every single soul. We must become active and fully participate, not in competition with others, not because we are right and they are wrong, not to make ourselves appear as superior to any, but instead in lowliness of mind and heart, seeking to please our God. Not unto us, but to our God be all the glory. See, it's not about us. It's about him. It's all about him. It's always about him. And it's never about us, you see. As we move forward in this fast, let us consider our true motivation for all that we do. It is very valuable to our growth to be firmly planted in his truth in every corner of our lives. The prevailing winds of this life come to uproot us from our anchoring in Jesus Christ. Saints, hold on to the Lord Jesus and his word, and don't let it go. The Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. Pay the price to get the truth, but don't sell it off as if it were nothing. Hold on to it. Your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. Hold on to the Lord Jesus and his word, and don't let go. No matter what happens, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't ever turn back. It is idolatry. Don't ever turn back. It is idolatry. The carnal life is considered as a great procurement in the world. They think it's great to be carnal. The more carnal they are, the happier they think they are. And they want to parade it around for the whole world to see. But that's not the way it is in Christ Jesus. Those who are forever competing for worldly acclaim without a firm and steadfast anchor in the Word of God are often motivated by a false sense of value. A false sense of value. Let's roll. Yes, a false sense of, here we are. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, Jesus speaking. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Spew. You're not used to that word? Try this. Projectile vomiting. He will puke you up. You're either going to be on fire for God, or you're not going to stay in his belly. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. I'm satisfied. I'm doing fine. Everything going just right. Really? And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. What did God say? He said something that's contrary to your opinion of yourself. He said, because you say, I'm rich and increased, I have this, I have a nice car, and a nice house, and a nice job, and a nice life, and I'm a nice person, and here it is, Jesus. He says that because you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, I got everything I need, Lord, and knowest not, here's the ignorance part, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, there is hope. I counsel thee, Jesus says, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It didn't just say gold. It said gold tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Here's the good part. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup or dine with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. See, there's a reward for all this. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen? So say, are you going to hold on to your carnal life? Is that what you're going to do? Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Beginning with verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You're smart. You can think. Your mind is your strong point. Don't get so excited about it. Don't glory in your wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Don't think you're such a suchy much in your little area where you think you got it all together. Because there are times when your greatest strength becomes a weakness to you. The Lord is not pleased with self-exaltation, which is born of pride, and he will not bless it. Second Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, it wasn't when he was weak. It was after he had a blessing, after he had become accomplished, after he had success, after he had achievement, that his heart was lifted up to the point of his own destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. You know, it's interesting. After we've been through great warfare and great struggle, and the Lord blesses us, we get our reward, that some of us think it was us that did it. It was not the Lord. It was us. We did this. We did this, and we did that, and we did the other, and that's who did it. When you are nothing but dust, and it's the Lord who did it. To him be the glory. To him be the praise. To him be the adoration. You know, some of us think we can forget that we are dust. But it's not so. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 3. Obadiah. Who? Obadiah. O-B-A-D-I-A-H. It's in your Bible. I know you may never have seen it before, but it's there. Obadiah. Go to the table of contents. It'll help you. Amen. Obadiah. Praise the Lord. It's little, but it's important. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. So where is the pride? In your heart. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? I'm here, I have arrived. Sea world, you've been waiting for me. Well, now I'm coming out. Well, maybe not the way you think. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. God has pronounced a curse every time you trust in flesh and in self and not in him. God released that curse and maketh flesh his arm. Flesh is what he leans on. He's not walking in the spirit. He's leaning on the flesh. Even though God has already said that the flesh profiteth nothing, he doesn't believe that. He can figure it out himself. He can do it himself. He can make this happen. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. He's trusting in man, making the arm of flesh his place of strength and power, and at the same time, his heart is departing from the Lord. That's a dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. But there's hope. In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. And whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You choose where you want to stand. Do you want to exalt yourself so that God can abase you? Or do you want to choose to humble yourself so that in due time he will exalt you? There are two different roads here, but you must choose the one that you will walk. When we fast, we choose to humble ourselves before the Lord. We are no longer walking in our own might, but by his power. And we often feel it in our body. We can tell on a fast that we have pressed in, and we can feel the change moving in. You can feel the change. You can tell when the shift comes, when it's not just you, he's taking over. You can tell. You can tell, just like on the train track, when it's going on the fuel that's in the train. But when it hits them electric rods going up north, you can feel the swift. The swift comes. It's there, and the chain goes, whoop. Okay, those of you that watch Star Wars, you've never been on a train. Let me come get you. It's the difference between them chugging along in outer space and going warp speed. You can feel the change come. Amen? It's not the same as before. You moved into a new place with the Lord. Amen? Saints, we can no longer run in our own power. We can't. It won't work. You'll run out of gas and the enemy will overcome you. We can no longer run in our own power. We must rely on his power to flow through us. We must die to ourselves and our carnal and fleshly ways that he might reign in us. You see, it's one thing for you to want to sit on the throne of your life. It's another thing for you to get out of the way completely and make room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and invite him to come and reign over you. It's like night and day. What does that mean, Pastor? It means in your truck, you stop driving behind the driver's seat. You get into the back seat, you buckle in, you shut your mouth, and wherever he takes you, hallelujah! You're not driving. You're not at the gear shift anymore. You don't control the steering wheel. You don't control if the lights are on or off. You don't control how fast or how slow the truck goes because you're not driving anymore. Jesus Christ is. You are not his co-pilot because you're in the back seat and he doesn't take suggestions from the peanut gallery. He is Lord over all. There is a competition going on. Our carnality versus his grace. Saints, let us yield ourselves to our Savior and to his ways, that our triumph over our carnality may be found in him, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen? Rise for the benediction. Now unto him who that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You died on Calvary.